Hello, and my name is Kitty Fitton, and this is Ordinary Life on Coast Access Radio. I'm not a doctor or a medical person in any way, shape or form, but I do live with early onset Parkinson's disease, and I'm kind of getting a little bit older. So soon I won't be able to say I've got early onset Parkinson's disease. People will just go, "You're sick." Well, undeterred, I'm going to plough on, and this week I'm going to be talking about making major changes in your life to accommodate your illness, which, gosh, that sounds really snappy and exciting, doesn't it? But it's a really, really hard thing to do. And I think it's a really hard thing to do, especially if you're a woman, but please don't turn off if you're a man, because it is still relevant. And, you know, I was bringing up my children. I was a full-time mum for a while. I'd had a glittering career and things had been going well and I was climbing the corporate ladder. And I figured it will be all right. I'll just take just a few years off and look after my children because that's also a very important job. And my husband at the time, he was really keen on being the breadwinner, and I gave up my great job because I didn't believe for one moment that all that rubbish about not being able to get a job again when you are over 40 and have had kids. Except, of course, it was true. And I got bitten very firmly on the bum. And I didn't know quite what to do, and I had retrained. And despite being diagnosed with Parkinson's, I was determined to do well and excel in my chosen career, and I was working in my own business and that was going pretty well. And then COVID happened and separation happened and it all went horribly, horribly wrong. And I found myself dealing with living on benefit with four children and being a single mum. And so I accepted a job. Somebody I knew offered me an administration position, and I figured this is a part-time job. This will be great. I can work part-time, be a, you know, as they say, a productive member of society. I can pay my bills, and I've got Fridays free because it's just 4 days a week, and I can do my exercise and catch up with all my errands on that last day, because exercise, as we have said so many times before, is so important. Except I needed to go full time. And despite telling my employer I didn't want to do that, I kind of wasn't given an option. And that in turn was having a really bad effect on my health. I noticed that my mobility was getting worse. I was so tired I couldn't find time to exercise. And I was really, really struggling to get things done. And so reluctantly, I had a long conversation with my new partner about what we were going to do, because clearly my health was suffering. I was talking to a friend about my dilemma, and they said to me, "Have you ever considered coming and working in my industry?" And I said, "No, I haven't. This is a complete change for me." And they said, "I'm looking for somebody to join me. They've been working in a small business for 10 years and they needed some help." So I went and had a chat and we had a discussion, and turns out they were happy for me to work on my own hours, doing my own thing. They were happy for me to not really have fixed, you know, times of work. And they were happy to give me a chance to train me, to support me and to mentor me into a new career. It's really scary to think about changing careers when you're nearly 50. It's a big leap. But I made the leap, and so far, it's going really well. However, it's made me think a lot about the support or lack of support that we get here in New Zealand for people who are chronically sick. I actually quite liked the administration job. The admin job was quite good. I was very good at it. I found it quite easy. But it was really difficult to tell my employer no. You know, I had no choice. I was utterly forced into working longer hours despite my protestations to that it would affect my health. There was nothing I could do to help change that. Now I'm working for myself. I'm very, very lucky that I got that opportunity, not only because somebody was willing to trust me and give me a position of responsibility, but because I had help and support of my new partner. And a lot of people are not in that position. They don't have the same chances. They don't get the same opportunities. And it makes you kind of question why. You know, I've got an illness that demands activity. It demands that I take it slow sometimes. It demands that I go to hospital quite a lot and have checkups. It demands, well, it just demands, to be honest. And when I've reached out for help and assistance, I only ever seem to hit brick walls. I looked online for help with financial help before I got the new job. There's disability assistance that you can apply for. It's only about $62 a week. But I wasn't eligible for it because I earned just a bit too much. And then there was disability supported living, but I'm not disabled enough. There is tax credits and there's things like that. But I live with somebody. I'm honest about living with somebody. I tell the truth. So I don't get anything there. And I was talking to a friend and they explained to me that there are things I can do, practical things, and they could help arrange for somebody to come and do my cleaning, or they could come and help wash me in the shower, or they could maybe do some gardening. I kind of pointed out that I can do my own cleaning, I can do my own gardening, I can wash myself. What I really needed was financial help so I could work part-time and then, you know, go exercise. Why is that not just as valuable? You know, why is it that they will pay $50, $60, $70, $100 a week to support people, but they're not supporting them in the way that they need? You know, it's just as valuable to me to exercise and work out, because then it means I don't need the other support at the other end. I don't need the medication. I don't need the health support. I don't need to use the health system to support me and maybe something much more serious. I mean, a small example of how I think the thinking is skewed, particularly in New Zealand, is the previous government brought in a free prescription rule. Now, we only pay $5 per prescription in New Zealand anyway, and some people might think, well, $5 is nothing. That's about £2.50 if you're in the UK, or it's about, I don't know, next to nothing in US dollars. So who can't afford that, right? I mean, it's nothing, except if you're poor in New Zealand, you are really, really poor. And if you're living on benefit, then you really, really are on the breadline. And $5 per item can quickly stack up when you're on quite a lot of medication. I mean, I take 4 different types of tablet, so that would be $20. Now, I can afford $20, I'm lucky, but not everybody can. And so when they brought this in, they'd done a lot of research and they realised that if people didn't pay that and they instead went and picked up their prescriptions and used the medication that they had been prescribed, that saved a massive amount, far more than what they received in the prescription fee. Because the people didn't get sicker, they didn't get worse, and they didn't need the doctor again or the hospital. However, things have changed, and I do believe the $5 prescription fee is about to be reinflicted upon New Zealanders. And I think it's a crying shame, because it's just yet another example of how short-sighted people are. You know, it's very easy to say, well, it's important, people should just pay for it. And, you know, user pays. Sometimes you save so much more with just a little kindness. I found it incredibly confronting to be told that I could only find assistance for things like cleaning and being washed. The words, somebody actually said to me, oh, you know, Mike is your carer. And I just looked at them. I was like, Mike is not my carer. Mike is my partner. Mike's my, I don't know, can you have a boyfriend at my age? You know, Mike's my fiance. He's my, you know, reality is there. I'm not so foolish as to not recognise that one day, that may well be true. He may have to describe himself as a carer, but I might have to describe me as a carer for him. After all, he's got serious heart conditions, so who's looking after who, right? But it was kind of strange. And we kind of looked at each other and kind of, we were both a little thrown by this idea, I could tell. We both try and look after ourselves as much as we can, but it's really, really hard. I went to a Parkinson's event a while ago, and there was a very, well, I don't want to say very elderly, but that sounds really awful. There was a chap in his mid-70s. I didn't know that at the time. I just saw a man hunched over, sat opposite a woman. And I went up to him and I said, hi, I'm Kitty. What's your name? And the lady replied, he's called Fred. And I was like, oh. I looked at the lady. Then I looked back at Fred and I said, hey, Fred, are you having a good day? And the lady replied, Fred's had Parkinson's for 20 years and he's 71. And I looked at the lady, then I looked back at Fred and I said, oh, well, when I'm 71, I'll have had Parkinson's for 30 years, so I'm going to beat you there, eh? And started laughing. Fred looked up and he said, oh, have you got Parkinson's? And I said, yes. And the lady opposite said, oh, I thought you worked for Parkinson's New Zealand. I said, no, I've also got Parkinson's. And she says, oh, I'm Fred's carer. And I replied, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were his wife. There was an awkward silence. And she says, oh, I am his wife. And I went home and I said to Mike, if you ever describe me as your carer, I will drag you round the streets and kill you. I won't. I hasten to add, that's not actually a threat of violence or anything like that. But you get the idea, right? And while I understand that this lady was, she probably was his carer. She, you know, she needs to support him, and he will have some very special needs. They were at a Christmas party together. Surely, if you're at a Christmas party, you would say that you're man and wife instead of carer and patient. Dealing with people's perceptions is often really, really difficult. Everyone seems to think that they know how you should behave and you should act. You know, why should I get upset because I'm not actually that disabled? And I kind of want to say to people, I'm not that disabled because I work so blinking hard at it. And I find it so hard to keep going sometimes. But you have to keep going. I mean, I've talked recently about toxic positivity. I don't feel I have a choice in it. I have my family that I care about and I like spending time with. I want to run around after my children I want to watch my daughter grow and do well at university. I've got so much to look forward to, and I don't want to do it hunched in a corner, crippled by Parkinson's. Having said that, mobility gets harder and harder, and I have to find a way of coping with it. But it's incredibly hard. But I've got so much to look forward to. And unfortunately, I'm not going to say unfortunately. I'm really grateful to have been given an opportunity to start a new career. I'm very, very grateful to the person that gave me the chance to retrain, do something brand new, and is trusting me to run my own life and help support their business and their clients. You know, without that support, I would be stuck working in a full-time administration role that I despised. Not everybody gets that kind of chance. And I don't quite know what practical support to offer here. The only thing I can say is it's important to make a change if you know that you need it. If you know that you're unhappy, and if you know that you need to make that change in your life, no matter how scary it is, I think taking the leap to do it is vital. It's so important that you look after yourself first. You know, you might find your financial situation is a little dire for a while. I'm not going to say it's easy to get through because that's patronising, and it's not true. It's hard, but it does mean that you will come out the other side. There is always a way through, and there is always a way out. I don't know what I would have done without the support of my partner. I suppose I would have left my job and thrown myself back into benefit. That was also unpleasant, but I would have found a way, because it was so important to me to keep moving, and ultimately keeping moving is what I've got to do. I believe that changing my career, making that leap, it saved me, because I was going backwards. I was unable to walk to the end of the street without stopping. I was struggling so much with my mobility. People still look at me and go, "But you look absolutely fine." I'm really not. And I have to work intensely hard on keeping going. I also have to sometimes work intensely hard on staying positive and cheery, because that's not always easy too. And I hope, I have a horrible feeling I sound really preachy, and as if I'm telling people how they should behave or what they should do. And I really do believe that it's a personal choice. You know, I hope it's not too preachy, because this is just my personal experience. However, I strongly believe that if you are in a rut, you are unhappy, and you cannot see a way out, go get some help. Go talk to someone. Find the good people out there who will support you, and you will find a way through. If you've got Parkinson's, there are Parkinson's New Zealand. They're always there to help out. And if you don't have Parkinson's but you're still suffering with something, go chat to a doctor or a good friend. I'm loving my new job. I'm loving my new change. It's still difficult, but I'm on the way back. And that's me.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.